All right. Good morning, Wake. How we doing? Come on. I know that y'all had a blast last weekend at Wake Retreat, and I'm so glad. We got some mic situations back there. We good? Great. All right. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we have not met before, and I'm so excited to kick off our new series. And here's how I'm going to set it up. How many of you guys have ever been wakeboarding before? Wakeboarding, yep, we got lots of people in the room. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you guys would say, I'm good at wakeboarding? Raise your hand. Yep, we got some confident people in the room. All right, hands down. How many of you guys would say, I'm not good at wakeboarding? Okay. Hands down. Last question. How many of you guys would say it was really hard to learn or pick up wakeboarding when you started? Yep, there you go. All right, those of you who raised your hand on that last question are just like me. I've only been wakeboarding maybe three times in my life, and the same result has happened every single time. How many of y'all want to see the result of me trying to wakeboard? All right, well, have I got the solution for you? I have video evidence of my previous attempts to wakeboard. Watch this one. That was not good. Maybe this one is a little bit better. No, it wasn't either. Same thing. We got some wakeboarders and wake surfers in the room. I love it. I show you those videos to show you or to illustrate my lack of skill to do something really, really fun, something really memorable, something really enjoyable, but really not to focus on me necessarily, but to focus on the boat. And in both of those videos, and if you've ever been wakeboarding or wake surfing, here's what you know. Wakeboarding or wake surfing is not possible without a wake, right? And how do you create a wake? How do you make a wake? A boat that's in motion creates a wake. If a boat is standing still, is there a wake? No, there isn't a wake. A boat makes a wake, and the wake makes wakeboarding, wake surfing, tubing, other water sports possible. And so you might say that a wake has influence. A wake creates opportunities for fun and for making memories. And did you know, sidebar, that that's why this ministry is called Wake? This ministry is called Wake because we think of and imagine Jesus and his life here on earth, where he lived perfectly, where he hung on the cross with the weight of every sin that would ever be committed on his shoulders. And he died and he was buried and he rose again from the dead, performing the most influential act in human history, paying the debt that you and I could not pay, and being victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave. And so we get to benefit from the influence, the wake of Jesus's life. And so your life and my life, if we are surrendered to Jesus and have placed our faith in him, we are really riding in the wake of Jesus's work here on earth. Make sense? That's why we call this ministry Wake, just if you didn't know. And so the work of Jesus has a lasting influence on our lives, right? And in turn, those of us who have trusted in his sacrifice on the cross, guess what we get to do? We get to influence the lives of others as well. The way that our lives have been influenced by Jesus and the gospel and the hope that he has placed in us, we get to pass that along, if you will. We get to make a wake. And so, for the next several weeks, that's a topic that we're going to be talking about. Make a wake. Understanding and using your influence. And so, hopefully, through the next several weeks, you'll get to understand in a clearer way that you, a sixth grader, a seventh grader, an eighth grader, you have influence and that you can use it for God's glory and for the gospel to go forth. So here's some common objections, I think, that might be in your mind, even now as you're hearing me talk about this idea of using and understanding your influence for the gospel. Maybe you're thinking, I'm just a sixth grader. I don't have any influence. No one cares what I think. And hopefully over the course of these next few weeks, you'll understand you're not too young to make a wake, to be influential in the lives of those around you. Or maybe you're saying, I'm an eighth grader. I'm not that influential. Maybe I'll be more influential when I'm in college or when I'm an adult or when, you know, I have a job or whatever it might be. And to you, I hope that over the course of these next few weeks, you understand that the time is now and the opportunity is right around you to be influential for Christ. Because sixth through eighth grade may be one of the greatest opportunities for you to have influence. And I mean that. Sixth through eighth grade may be one of the greatest opportunities for you guys to have influence on your friends, your families, your teams, your classrooms, your classmates, wherever you may find yourself. This very moment may be one of the greatest opportunities you have for influence. Because it's when you're figuring out, you and your friends are figuring out your identity, you're figuring out your interests, you're forming your habits, good or bad, you're really building the foundation of your life upon which you'll go forward for the rest of your lives. You know, every time we interview your small group leaders, we get to ask them about their story and about things that have happened over the course of their lives. And without fail, leader after leader in those interviews, here's a common thing that they'll say. When I was in sixth grade or seventh grade or eighth grade, my parents got a divorce or my family moved. Or I was exposed to something I shouldn't have seen. Or maybe something else. There are these pivotal moments that your small group leaders have experienced in their lives. And often it happens in those years of sixth through eighth grade. And now imagine if while one of your small group leaders, when they were in sixth through eighth grade, imagine if they had a friend who understood the opportunity for influence they had for Christ and walked alongside them through whatever the difficulty and challenge might be. And so I hope that illustrates for you that you have an incredible opportunity to influence those around you, your friends and your peers, through your words, your actions, and your relationships. And we want you to take hold of those opportunities. And so today, I'm going to set up this series, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about specific ways that you guys can influence those around you for Christ. So today, I want to share with you three things God has for those who want to make a wake. If you want to be influential for God, for the gospel, God has three things for you that I want to share with you from His Word. And so the first thing, let me ask you, just because I asked you the last time, if you have your physical Bible, raise your physical Bible. Let me see it. Love it. Remember, when you come to wake, it is so easy to be distracted by the people sitting next to you or your phone or what's going on your phone. And so bringing a physical Bible helps you to pay attention and focus on what the speaker is communicating and what God's truth is communicating. And so if you have your phone and that's how you're looking at your Bible, that's okay. Put it on Do Not Disturb. Close out whatever apps you're on right now, trying to play so that you can hear what God has to say from His Word. So here's the first thing that God has for those of you who want to make a wake. God has a place for you to make a wake. That's the first thing we're going to look at, and we'll look at number two and three in just a little bit. God has a place for you to make a wake. And so if you have your Bible, or turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18, okay? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. And I want you guys at the end of those reading of those four verses or five verses to share with me out loud what you think the place is that God has for you to prepare you or to help you be influential for Christ. So we're in the book of Matthew, which is one of the four books of the New Testament that share the story of Jesus' life here on earth. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" So he's saying, what's the word on the street about me, about Jesus? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter replied, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so Peter, one of Jesus's disciples, has made the declaration that who Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one to come and rescue his people and bring salvation and an opportunity to be reconciled with God. And then in verse 18, Jesus says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, the truth that I am the Savior of the world, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, we were looking for a place that God has for you to make a wake. What's the place that we just saw in Matthew 16? The church. That's right. That's right. It's not a trick question. The place that God has for you and me and every single one of us to make awake is his church. The church is how God intends to push back the darkness and the brokenness of this world. The church is the place where we are to be equipped, where we are to be encouraged, and where we are to be sent out to be followers of Jesus. And so God invites every single one of us to be a part of his team, if you will. The church isn't a building. The church isn't a place. The church is a people. The church is a movement. The church is all of those who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus, and they want to follow him and make his name great in all the earth so that others can come to know who he is. To kind of illustrate this a little bit more, I want to show you a picture, and I want you to tell me what the names on this picture have in common. I heard it over here. What was it? There we go. There we go. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, this is the list of every player that was on the roster of the World Series champion Texas Rangers. Come on. Come on. Man, what a redemption road. You were literally babies when they crushed our hearts, but they redeemed themselves. But I want to keep this up there and ask you a question. Guess whose name isn't on the list of Texas Rangers players? Mine, yours, every one of your leaders, every other player on every other team in the major leagues. Why is their name not on this roster list? Because they're not on the team. And that is the example and illustration I want you to understand. You can take it down now. If you're not on the team, if you're not a part of God's church, the place where he invites you to come and be encouraged and be reminded of who God is and his love for you and the opportunities he's placing in front of you every single day. If you're not on the team, you can't win the World Series, right? And so much more importantly than a baseball game, God invites you to be a part of his team, his church. So if you're going to make a wake, you need a community. You need fellow Christians around you to encourage you, to be there for you in the hard moments. You need leadership over you, your small group leaders, your parents, us as a wake team, and so many other older followers of Jesus to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so the question for you is, are you making the most of God's provision of a place, his body, his people, the church? Are you making the most of God's provision for you to grow in your faith and in your influence? That's a question only you can answer. Are you making the most of it? Are you faithfully attending your small group and asking your small group leaders questions or sharing things that are going on in your life or asking your parents to help you deal with a struggle or a challenge that you might be going through or asking them, hey, how am I gifted? How has God wired me so that I can be an influence in the lives of others around me? Are you making the most of God's provision of his church in your life so that you can make a wake? Because God has a place for you to make a wake, and that is his church. Number two, the second thing that God has for you to make a wake is God has a plan for you to make a wake. So first, God has a place, his church. And second, God has a plan for you to make a wake. In the same book that we were just in, Matthew, we're going to jump a couple of chapters to the end of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, where we're going to see what God's plan is for you and I to make awake. Matthew chapter 28, we'll read verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And after we read it, I want you to shout out what you think the plan is that God has for you and I to make awake, okay? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus has died and resurrected, and he's giving a final charge to his disciples then, and by extension, you guys, followers of his today. And he says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What do you think the plan is that God has for you to make awake? What's his plan? There we go. We got it. We got it right on the front row. His plan is for you and I to make disciples. He says, go into all the world and do what? And make disciples and baptizing them and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. So what does it mean to go and make disciples? Answer, a disciple is someone who loves and follows Jesus. And so your plan, God's plan for you to make disciples is simply for you and I to help people learn to love and follow Jesus. God's plan for you to make a wake is to help people learn to love and follow Jesus. Like I said before, the church isn't just a place. It's not a building. It's not just, you know, something that you just do because that's what the culture calls for. It is a movement. It is an opportunity to help people learn to love and follow Jesus. And I love also the phrase at the end of verse 20 where it says, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so Jesus isn't just telling you, hey, go be influential. I hope it works out. Good luck out there. No, Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20 is called the Great Commission. Now, what does that word mean? What does that word break down to? It's a mission. And what are the two letters that begin it? Co. So it is a mission together. Together with who? That's right. With other followers of Jesus and with Jesus himself. He's not sending you off on your own, hoping you figure it out. It says he is with you to the very end of the age as you go help people learn to love and follow Jesus. I'm going to show you a video that is an illustration of the rise of Christianity as followers of Jesus from the beginning of the church began to be bold and courageous with their faith and went and spread the gospel all across the known world. I love this video because it just illustrates what can happen when followers of Jesus decide to make a wake. So watch this. Christianity is a white color on the map, and watch as it just grows over time. As followers of Jesus literally risk their lives, are imprisoned, are killed, are shamed, are crucified, they still go. And they still continue to faithfully proclaim Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life, the only way that you can be reconciled with God. Yeah, and Christianity faces a lot of opposition from other religions and from other world powers. And there's moments that it begins to shrink and begins to fade. But men and women of God continue to faithfully share the gospel. And you watch it and you cheer on Christianity, right? Yeah, yeah, you do. Look at that picture just for a second. Come back with me. Isn't that amazing to just watch Christianity grow? And it didn't just randomly happen. Someone didn't just wake up in Eastern Europe and go, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to become a Christian. No, someone went there and someone told them that God loves them and that God has a plan for them and that God wants a relationship with them. And so through the boldness and courage and of followers of Jesus, Christianity has spread almost everywhere in the known world, but that mission still continues today. And it's not just in some random jungle in Africa. It's in Richardson, Texas that the gospel needs to go. It's in Highland Park and Lake Highlands and wherever else you live. And so here's a question. Here's a question for you. Are you, not someone else, not your small group leaders, not your parents, not me, are you, sixth grader, seventh grader, eighth grader, are you playing your part in God's plan for making disciples? Are you playing your part in being bold and courageous to share his truth with a lost, dying, and broken world? Are you playing your part in God's plan for making disciples? Because you have the opportunity to be a boat in motion, if you will, that's making a wake, that influences those around you. Or you can just stand still. And my hope and prayer is that you wouldn't stand still, because there is a prize that awaits those who make a wake. So that's the final thing that God has for you. If you want to make a wake, God has a prize for you. And I love this. I love this illustration in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. We'll read this, and then we'll wrap up and be out of here. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we're going to see that God has a prize for those who make a wake. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. It says this: "You are the light of the world." Who's the you? Yes, those of you who want to make a wake, who are followers of Jesus, who are part of his church. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Use your influence is what he's saying. Make a wake is what he's saying. And he tells you what the prize is for making a wake. "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and do what? And give glory to your Father in heaven." Guys, that is the prize. If you want to be influential for God amongst your friends, your classmates, your family, wherever you find yourself, the prize for using your influence is that God is worshiped, is that people see and understand more of who he is and they surrender themselves to him, is that God is magnified, that God is made much of as people see the way you talk, as people see the way you live your life, as people see the way you act differently in your relationships, and as they see you live differently and talk differently and act differently, guess what? They say, something's different about her. Something's different about him. And hopefully it's an opportunity for them to see and hear and know that God loves them and wants a relationship with them and wants to rescue them from the penalty of sin. And so, in summary, if you want to make a wake, God has a place for you as church. God has a plan for you to go and make disciples, helping people learn to love and follow Jesus. And God has a prize for you, that other people will come to faith in him, that other people will worship God because of how they see you worship God through your life, through your words, through your actions, through your friendships. When I was about 12 years old, a youth pastor came to our church and he faithfully shared the gospel that God loves me and that God sent his son Jesus to live, die, and raise again from the dead for my sin. And so he used his opportunity to make a wake and proudly proclaimed the gospel. And I trusted in Jesus as a 12-year-old. And then I was encouraged by others who were in my life to take another step of faithfulness and follow Jesus and be obedient in baptism, just like Sophia, is it her name, right? Yeah, Sophia, who's getting baptized in after the 11:15 a.m. service. I was encouraged and challenged to do that. And then I was encouraged and challenged by others who were older than me to read God's word and to obey God's word and to learn to love and follow God. And so for the last 20 plus years since that moment, I've been imperfectly following Jesus because there have been people all along the way who decided, I'm going to make a wake and I'm going to play my part to be influential in his life. And in the very same way, all around you, every single day, are people waiting, even if they don't know it or realize it, to be influenced for the gospel, for God's glory, for a relationship with him. And the person that God has placed in their life is you. And you get to demonstrate to them what it looks like to learn to love and follow Jesus. And so, if you want to make a wake, God has a place, plan, and prize for you. Lastly, you can't make a wake in the lives of others if your life hasn't been influenced and transformed in the first place by Christ. And so, my prayer is that every single one of you would first surrender yourselves to God and believe and trust in his gospel, and then go forth to wherever the Lord may send you to be someone who is influential for him. Let me pray that you would. God, we love you, and we're so grateful for every single one of these 6th through 8th graders, and thank you for the amazing opportunity for influence that they have. And I pray that they wouldn't let their youth be the thing that keeps them from being influential for you, but that they would understand and know that you've placed them exactly where they are so that they can make a wake for you. Just as you have made a wake in their lives, may they be faithful to do that in the lives of others. We love you, and we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.